Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bava Kama Daf Yud Zayin. We begin right on top, Tanu Rabbanan with a piece of Agada to Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan back to Chizkiyo HaMelech, where it says V'kavoid Osuloi B'moisai. They accorded him great honor after his passing. Who is it referring to, and what did they do? Says the Gemara, Zechizkiya, the king of Yehuda, Melech Yehuda, Shiyotu Lafanov, Shloishim Vishisha Elef Chalutze Kosev. It was such an expression of mourning. 36,000 people walked ahead of his coffin, Chalutze Kosev, with exposed shoulders, as a sign of Avelus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Lei Rabbi Nechemya, what's the big deal? V'alod Lufnei Achav Asukein. Even by Achav the king, who wasn't a great man, there was also such a grand expression of mourning. So what's the big deal? Ella, rather, the kavod done to Chizkiyah was as follows. She'enichu sefer Torah al mitosa. They put a sefer Torah on his bed. V'amru, and they declared, ki im zeh, he fulfilled, Chizkiyah fulfilled, mashakos b'zeh, all that is contained in this Sefer Torah. Asks the Gemara again, what's the big deal? Nowadays we also do that for great men. So what's the big deal that it was done for Chizkiyah? Answers the Gemara, there is one difference. Afuke mafkinon, yeah. Sure, we'll carry the Sefer Torah ahead of a great man after his passing to indicate that he was a man of great stature, connected to the Torah. But Anuchi, to actually place this Sefer Torah on the mita, loy manchina, we don't do that. And that was unique by Chizkiyah. People are saying another pshat. Anuchi nami manchina, perhaps nowadays we also do that. We place the Sefer Torah on the mita. But this declaration to say, kiyem, while he is in full fulfillment of all that's contained in the Torah, that was unique by Chizkiyah Mahamelech, kiyem leamrina, we don't say that today. Omar Rabba Barbachano, one day Havazilna, Bahadeid Rabbi Yechanan, I was walking behind Rabbi Yechanan, Limishol Shmat, to ask him some questions in Halacha. In any case, Kevayil Beis Akisei, as he was entering the Beis Akisei, Vavavina Neimilsa. So then I started discussing with him something, Le Pashadlan. He didn't respond, Adam Asher Yadei, Omanach Tfilin, Omavarech, until he washed his hands, placed his tefillin back on himself, Omavarech, and made a bracha on the tefillin. And then afterwards, he responds, Bahada Armalan, he told us like this. Afilu kiyem amrinan, but limei lo yamrinan. Even if nowadays we may say kiyem, this departed chacham did fulfill everything in the Torah. We'll say that, but there is something we still won't say, something which was unique to Chizkiyah. Limei lo yamrinan. We will not say that he taught everything contained in this Torah. So the question is, it almost sounds like, learning Torah is greater than fulfilling the Torah and keeping the mitzvahs. V'amamar, we learned that it's the other way around. Gadol Talmud Torah shalimud mevedei maisa. The greatness of Torah is that when one, gets immersed in learning Torah, in the ways of Torah, in the halachos, the details, the way of life, it binds him to the Torah. It makes him aware. It makes him cognizant. It makes him focused on the Torah way of life, as the Messiah Shalom explains. That's why we say Torah brings l'dei zehirus. Torah mevia brings to carefulness. Because, when a person is intellectually connected to Torah, that becomes his focus and his way of life. So bottom line is, Torah is meant to generate fulfillment of Torah. Shalimud meo de maisa, which sounds like masa is the ultimate goal, which in a way is higher than learning the Torah. And here we say that we may say about a chacham he was mekayim everything, but not limeid, because that's unique to chizk. Being mekayim is greater than limeid. Says the Gemara, one second, big difference between learning and teaching. Like kashu holim migmar, regarding one's own personal learning, so fulfillment stands higher than learning. Holag muri, but teaching others is a greater zchus. Mzakas harabim, bringing others to learn and to fulfill is an even greater zchus, and that was unique. As part of the declaration by Chizkiyah HaMelech that he was limeid everything in the Torah. Om Rabbi Yech, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yechai. Maidech said, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Ashreichem Zoyre Yalkol Mayim Mishalchi Regel Hashar Vachamar? It means like this. Zoyre Yalkol Mayim is referring to a person who is immersed in Torah and Chesed. Kol Oisek B'Torah Ubig Milas Chasodim, if a person is involved in both, Zoychel Anachla Shnei Shvatim, he inherits the very unique qualities, the Nachla, the territory, whether it's physical or spiritual aspects of these two Shvatim, Shnei Shvatim. Which ones? We'll see in a minute. Shanamar Ashreichem Zoyre. So the pasuk begins with these words. What is it? Zoyre? Veizriya, that's giving tzedakah. Let tzedakah. Shanamar Zeru Lechem Letzedakah V'Kisro V'Chasad. So we find Zriya, a reference to Tzedak. It says Zoyre Al Kol Mayim. What is Mayim referring to? Learning Torah. Vein Mayim Al Torah, of course. Shanamar Hukal Tzomi. A person is thirsty. He's looking to fulfill his desires. Really deep down, he's being driven by that spiritual void. Go ahead, open a Gemara, open a Daf Hayayim, Eluchul HaMayim. So in any case, the Pasuk here is referring to a person who taps into Torah, taps into Chesed. And what is he? Zoyche? V'zoyche l'nachla shnei shvatim. Which two shvatim? Zoyche l'kilo ki yosef. Kilo. The Parsham explains, like, Nichsef Avigam Kolso Nafshi. People are drawn to him. He has influence on others. He's Mashpia, like Yosef did. Shechsev, Bein Peras Yosef, Bino Saad Ali Shur. So Yosef was a magnet. Yosef was something that people, someone people desired to connect to. People were drawn to him and to his leadership abilities. And the Pasuk refers to him as a Shur. So here as well, when it says that a person who is Zoyre and Al Kol Mayim, Torah and Milch HaSodim, he connects to Shor V'Chamor, the qualities of Yosef, Shor, V'Zoychel, and Nachlas Yisachar. And Yisachar, the qualities of Yisachar, which is Chamor, the Chsiv Yisachar Chamor, Gorem. And Rashi explains, Gorem is material wealth. So Yisachar is spiritual wealth, and material wealth. There's another version of what happens here. Oivav Neiflum in front of Yosef. In what way does he connect to Yosef? His enemies fall away like those in front of Yosef. So this is the bracha to Yosef that he will fell all his enemies. So he vanquishes his opponents. And he has the qualities of Yisachar with respect to Bina, a deeper understanding in Torah, etc. That was something unique to Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar. Yoide Bina le'itim v'das mayasi Yisrael. Okay, Hadron Aloch Arba Avos, says the Mishnah. Keitzah Doregel Mu'edes L'Shaber B'Derech Hiluch. So Rashi learns, this is a question and an answer. Keitzah Doregel Mu'edes, says Rashi Kaloymar, Bameh HaRegel Mu'edes. In what way do we say that the animals, you know, walking and damaging as it does so is considered a Mu'ed, something expected, anticipated, which he should have guarded against. The answer is l'shaber b'derech ilucha, to break something as it's walking, as it's striding along. That's called regal. It wasn't a deliberate, act of aggression. He's just striding along, and he sort of accidentally stepped on something. In that case, it's called regal, which you pay nezek shalim. And the Mishnah continues with another statement, which almost sounds like a repetition. And the Gemara will address this. Habehima mu'edus, lahalach kadarka l'shaber. The behemah is liable to walk along the road and break things as it's walking. However, hoysem avayetus, it was kicking. Kicking is an act of aggression. Or as the animal striding along, it sort of flicks some pebbles over to the side, which cause damage. That's an indirect damage. That's called tsreiros. V'shiber sakelim, broke some kalim while doing so. Mishalb chatzinezek, now it's downed to a chatzinezek. Why? Because of two reasons, really. Mevaetes is an expression of aggression, of keren. It's a variation of keren. Therefore, there's chatzi nezek, if in fact there's sheretam. In the second case, although it's really a variation of regal, pebbles flickering as he's walking along, but since it happened in an indirect fashion, through the koyach of the behemah, not through the guf of the behemah, there's halacha l'mishum in Sinai, that it's bumped down from nezek shalom to chatzi nezek. And the Mishnah will present three more examples of tzreiros. Dorsan la kli shvaratu. Behemah stepped on a kli, and smashed it. And that very Isora force caused the Kli to jump away and cause further damage. V'nafal, Akli Achor Shvari, that first Kli that got directly damaged through Regal went and flew over and broke something else. So what is the owner chayiv? Alarishan Mishalom Nezek Shalom. He has to pay 100% for the first Kli, but that's typical Regal. Well, Achor, but the second Kli, which was damaged, sort of by that ricochet, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, that's Tzrei Reis, which generates a half a Nezek. Third example of Tzrei Reis, Hatar and Goylem, Mu'odin, Lahalach Kedak and Lashavar. Tanagoylem are accustomed to, you know, walking along and breaking things as they're walking. But in the following case, it's called Tzrei Reis. So you had the little kosher baraglav, he had some sort of strap flapping from his foot. Or he's dancing up and down, jumping around, and by doing so, something ricocheted and broke something. In this case, it's Tzrei Reis, which only generate a 50% liability. Now, why does the Mishnah begin with that sort of redundancy? Once the Mishnah began, discussed, HaRegel Mu'edes LaHalach Kedak LeShaver, why repeat the same thing with Beim Mu'edes LaHalach Kedak LeShaver? Isn't that a repetition? He says, look, Tana Aves, Ktani Todes. Regel is the primary limb, which identifies with the, the Regel category. So that's the Av. And then we have Habehim Mu'edes LaHalach Kedak LeShaver. Rashi explains, by way of its body, you know, walking along and shoving things as it's walking. That's sort of a derivative of the regal, which is the actual foot crashing something down. So we have the ovos and the toes. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, save for diktoni. Let's take a look at the next mission, which discusses shame, damage by consumption. So the Mishnah on Daf Yutes Amud Beis begins by saying, Hashen mu'edes le'echel esurai lo. Okay, you expect the animal to eat, edible stuff, even if she doesn't necessarily have permission to do so. And then the Mishnah continues, Habehemo Moedes, a repetition, Habehemo Moedes, Lechol Peres Yerokas. So the same question there, Elamiata Sefer, Diktoni Hashem Moedes. And then again, Habehemo Moedes, what's the repetition about? My Aves, my Teledes Ika, those are both Aves, consuming with your mouth, that's Aves. So why the repetition? So this was asked to Rava, by Ravina. So Rabbi responded sort of in jest, but Amalei tells him, look, I already gave you an answer on the first part. I answered the first Mishnah, right? Now it's your turn. You explain the other thing. No, but time am I, so really, what is the reason? Omar of Ashi, I'll tell you why the second Mishnah repeats and gives us two sort of variations of shame. Tana shame dechayu, tana shame debehema. The Mishnah covers both the animal eating and the behemoth eating. Why would I think there's a difference? Saka de Chamin, perhaps I would say. Veshilach as Bi'iroi Ksif. Pasuk says, he sent Bi'iroi and went and consumed, his friend's produce. Bi'iroi, Rashi says, is the definition, is the translation of Behema. The Targum of Behema is Bi'iroi. Interesting. We have a Targum word within the Torah. Veshilach as Bi'iroi. Ksif Behema in Chayloi, perhaps only Behema is included in this halacha. B'nam Chay Kamash Malon. That's why the Mishnah has to repeat it. It applies to Behema and to Chay. Says the Morihoch, if that's the case, that the Mishnah is trying to cover both things, Behemah and Chaya, then which one should be said first? The one that's explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, that goes first. Behemah, and then speak about Chaya. And the Mishnah puts it the other way around. Behemah is the second line in the Mishnah, and not the first. Yochi, ha, miboyle misnib resha, should have had Behemah first, not second. The answer is, hi, the asile midrasha chavivle. The Tana likes to introduce us to something which he toiled for, which he made effort to achieve. We want to bring Chaya first. That's a chiddush, that's a novelty. And then Behemah comes second, because that's the more simple and obvious halacha. If that's the case, Reish Nami. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Two forms of regal. We have sort of the standard regal, walking along and damaging through his actual feet. Then we have those sort of the offshoot of regal, residual damage as he's walking along and shoving things, by the way. So which one should be said first? Yachi Reisha Nami, listen Yahi, the one that is a chiddush should be first, the one that's not so clear to us, the one that's, you know, bodily related, not feet enabled, feet related, listen Yahi, the Lexiva Bereisha should have been the one that's not clear in the pasuk. That should be first. And our Mishnah actually says it the other way around. First comes regel, which is the more obvious case, and then comes, you know, by way of his body. Says the Wahi Yashta, you can't compare. Oh, some idi v'idi obes nino. When it comes to the Shein, Behema, and Chaya, they're both primary examples of Shein. Consumption. Straightforward consumption. And therefore, when we have a choice, which one to state first? The Behema or the Chaya? Well, the Drasha comes first, because that's more dear to us. Hachta asyev le midrasha, which is the Chaya. Chavivale, it's precious, and that goes first. That makes sense over there, but over here by Regal, Hacha shavek av betoni tolda, why would he sort of leave the av by the wayside, the primary expression of Regal, which is damaging by way of actually walking and, you know, foot related. Why would he leave that for a second with Tony Tolda and leave the Tolda and put the Tolda ahead of that? You know, one is an Av, one is a Tolda. Naturally, the Av goes first. Iboy is another reason why the Mishnah would start with the actual Regal description. I did the Salat Min Regal, Pasam Hu Regal, because in the last parak, on the Tezvav, we made reference to damage through Regal. So, sort of, we're picking up where we left off, and therefore we start with a reference to Regal as well. Turn it up. So Behema is expected to just break things as it walks along, and therefore you're 100% responsible. Ketzad, give me an example. Behema enters the property that belongs to the victim, which is actually the only place you're liable for shein v'regel. Ubir b'stei acher, right? So you went to the sadeh anizik. And it caused damage in any one of the following scenarios. Begufa derechilucha, through, you know, it's guf, like shoving along as it's walking. Ubisara derechilucha, or as it's walking along, its hair, the animal's hair, got caught up in something and caused damage. Ubukav sholeh, by way of its saddle. Ubishlev sholeh, by way of its load. Ubifrum yoshua pia, by way of the bit sticking out of its mouth, ubezuk shebetzavar, the bell around its neck, v'chamor b'masoy, or a donkey, by way of its load that knocked something over, mishalom nezek shalom, you're fully responsible. Sumchas Omer, he says like this, tzroiros, if the animal shot some pebbles and they caused damage, or v'chazir, a swine, sheyenever ba'ashba, which was rummaging through the garbage, and sort of, you know, triggered something which ricocheted and caused Hezek, v'hizek, mishalom nezek shalom, you pay 100%. Hizek, if you cause direct damage, you actually physically, you know, struck something, pshita, of course you pay 100%. What's the point of even mentioning that? Ella, aim, or rather say like this, hitiz, v'hizek, mishalom nezek shalom. So although it wasn't a direct hit, he triggered something else, which went and ricocheted off and hit something. You pay 100%. That's Tzreiros, which according to Sumchais is fully responsible. Asks the Gemara, why even discuss Tzreiros? Tzreiros, flying, you know, items, flying objects. Tzreiros, Mandachar Shemai, whoever discussed projectiles which cause damage. Chasur Me'echzer Achitani, rather the Brisa is meant to be read like this. Tzreiros Kiru Chayu Chatzinezek. If the animal, as it's, you know, naturally walking along, triggers some pebbles which cause damage, you go down to 50% payment. V'chazir shayinever v'ashpa. Likewise, a chazir is doing the same thing in the ashpa and triggers something. V'hizik v'hitiz v'hizik v'shalom chatzinez. On this, Sumchas disagrees. Sumchas Omer, you should know tzroiroiz v'chazir shayinever v'ashpa v'hitiz v'hizik. All these forms of indirect damaging m'shalom nezek shalom is 100% responsible, because according to Sumchas, there's no discount for tzroiroiz. Tanur Rabbanan. Let's have some other more examples of direct and indirect damages. You have some chickens fluttering around from place to place, and their wings struck out and damaged. You pay full. But if the damage was triggered by some fluttering of wind, Ruach, which was generated by their fluttering wings, Mishalman et Chatzinezek, in that case it's called Tzurei Reis. It's indirect damaging, it's 50% Nezek. So Chas Omer, he disagrees, he says, even by Tzurei Reis, even though it's indirect Nezek Shalom, you pay fully. Tani Yedach, we have another Braisa. Tani Goylem, Shayim Ahad Sinal Gabi Isa. You have some Tani Goylem hopping around on a dough, Bal Gabi Peiris, or on fruit, Vatinfu, and they dirty them, or Nikru, or they pecked into them, Mishalman et Shalom, you pay fully. Hello, off of Tzurei Reis, but if they kicked up some dirt or pebbles, in which case the Nezek happened through Tzurei Reis, through an indirect fashion, Mishalman Chatzin Nezek, you only pay half. So, Chas Omer, even in this case, Nezek Shalom, Tani Yedech, we have another Braisa, Tarnagol Shayim Afriach Mokim Mokim, a Tarnagol who was flying around, Vyotz Ruach Matachas Knofav, Vyashibas Hakelim, and it generated some gust of air, which broke a Kli, Mishalman Chatzin Nezek, that's an example of Tzurei Reis once again, which pays half stomach Rabbanon, this anonymous price that follows the Rabbanon, Tzurei Reis equals Chatzin Nezek. Omarav, let's try to understand the Shitas Rabbanon. Bishlam is Sumchas, Kesavar Koyach Gigufei Dami. I understand Sumchas very well. He holds that even Nezek, which occurs through Koyach, through indirectness, is regarded as the Guf. After all, he brought it about. He's fully responsible, you pay fully. Ella, so Koyach Gigufei Dami. Ella Rabbanon. How do we understand the Rabbanon? That this form of regal damaging only gets you 50% liability. If koyach is regarded as the guf, we consider it like a direct hit, kulei nezek bo yilishalom, pay 100%. V'ilav kiguf idomi, if it's not like his guf, let him be totally absolved. Chatzi nezek, nami lo yilishalom, pay nothing. Hadamah Rava, Rava explains like this. Lo'ilam kiguf idomi, you're right, the starting point is that koyach and guf are synonymous. You're fully responsible for any damage incurred by your animal, whether it's direct or indirectly. So why do we get that discount? It's a special halacha. V'chatzi nezek tzurei reis, hilchas ha-gmir lo, is halacha meshmi Sinai, that takes it from 100% to 50%. Amar Rava, kol shebezav tami. When a zav touches something or somebody directly, he makes him tami. Tumah gets transferred. So this type of situation, whereby a zav would constitute a direct transfer of tumah, v'nezaken mishalom nezek shalom. Likewise, in the case of an animal who similarly contacted something, you know, with a direct hit, that generates nezek shalom. However, if it's indirect, kol shebezav tor, if, let's say, the zav interacted with somebody very indirectly, threw a banana at him, so the tumah does not get transferred. I shouldn't say banana, it's food. He threw a ball at him. So the tumah does not get transferred from the zav to the recipient, because there was no direct contact. And therefore, the same by nezakim, we have this equation, b'nezakim, mishalom, chatzi nezek. If an animal did hezek in an indirect fashion, like tzurei reis, it's 50% liability. What's the point of making this formula? What is he teaching us something new? But Rava, what's Rava coming to tell us? Tzurei reis, the concept of indirectness, as lashmina, is that what he's coming to tell us? That's a known halacha. Look, actually not. Rava, egla meshechetz bekaren kamashmalan. He's coming to teach us something else. You have an egla, a calf, pulling a wagon. And it happens to pull it over, you know, some unfortunate, you know, item sitting there, which gets crushed. Is the owner of the animal chayv? Of course, because it's strapped to the egla. And as Rashi points out, it's called guf. It's not called tzurei reis. It's direct damage, because it's strapped to the animal, who's shoving it and pulling it over the item and damaging. It's like an extension of the animal. It's like yada arich, like an extended hand. Which, in a case of a zav, would have similar repercussions. If a zav, picture a zav is sitting on a wagon, which is now rolling over something, the tumah gets transferred from the zav through the wagon onto that item as well. It's considered like direct contact, rather than indirect. So that's the point of Rava, to bring out this aspect. Tanakh, I say the Rava, we have a brisa which supports Rava, that this is called direct effect rather than indirect. A man is expected to break things out as he's walking along. Keitzad, for instance, Be'emah shnichlu chatzar nizak. Vimir enters the chutz of the nizak, vizika begufa, and did damage by way of its, you know, its body moving along. The rechilucha as it's walking with ara through its hair. The rechilucha bukav shalea, saddle bushli shalea, the load b'prumish apia, bit in its mouth, b'zukshu tzavar, the bell around its neck, b'chamar b'masoy, load of a donkey. And here comes the punchline: ve'egla moishechas be'karin, pulling a wagon over something, meshalman, that's a sholem, it generates full liability. Tarnagoyim, I'm showing mechatatin bechevot li. So the tarnagoyim, the chickens are pecking at this rope from a from which a pail is hanging. So although you would think this is an act of, you know, deliberate aggression, but it's not so. This is a derech. This is their, you know, modus operandi. They peck at things. And ultimately the rope snaps and the pail cracks. They're fully responsible. It's not called tsereret. It's not called keren. It's just, you know, he enjoys it. It's like a expression of shame. You know, it's just the way of life for the tarnagol. It's like shame to a regal, and he's fully chayiv. By Rav, listen to this question presented by Rav. You have an animal walking on the road, darsa kli, happens to, you know, chance upon a kli, steps all over it. V'loish v'rasay, the kli is pretty resistant, no breakage, but that sort of bang, that pressure, that kinetic energy, you know, pushed the kli. V'nisgagum okim acher, now the kli rolled away. V'nishbar, and broke, you know, elsewhere, crashed into a wall and broke there. Now, what would you say in this case? Is it direct damage? You pay nezek shalom? Was it called like tzurei reis? Because ultimately, you know, the actual moment of contact between animal and kli did not result in breakage. It happened only later. So perhaps that's called like secondary damage, indirect damage, which is constitutes tzurei reis, 50% payment. Mao, and he explains it. Basar mikoras lindu. We look at the initial moment where they came into contact with each other. That actually generated the breakage, you know, eventually, because that's when he sort of, you know, invested his energy into this kli, which ultimately made it roll away and break. V'gufay hu, and therefore it's considered direct contact. Gufay, and he's chayv nezek shalom. Oydilma basar tzvar mona aslino. Do we look at the moment of breakage which happened a mile away? Utzvaras dino, it's called indirect, like tzurei reis. That's Rabbi's child. Asks the Gemara, Tiv Shalem the Rabbah. Perhaps Rabbah can gain clarity from Rabbah's halacha, which discusses a very similar point. Moment of contact or moment of breakage? Dama Rabbah, Zora Kli Merish Agag. Imagine a fellow takes a Kli, throws it off the roof. So it's about to break down there, but it hasn't yet broken. It's slated for breakage, but not yet. Uba Acher Ushvari B'Makal. Reuven comes along, throws the thing off the roof. Shimon runs over, midair, strikes the thing and breaks it before it got a chance to land and splatter. He's potter. You know why? It was, for all practical purposes, useless. It was about to break once it collides with the ground below. Then remember, we tell the owner of the kli, mana tvira tavar. He just broke something which was already broken, so to speak. So evidently, we relate to that initial moment of contact. As soon as the fellow initiated a process which inevitably leads to this item being broken or damaged, even if there's a delay between his masa and the effect of his masa, but ultimately he brought about that damage, it relates to him and that moment of contact. We see that from the fact that Shimon is putter for breaking this thing mid-air, because it's considered a broken item. What do you mean broken? Who broke it? Reuven broke it by way of throwing it off the roof. It's considered for practical purposes a broken item, because we sort of see it as an act of breakage, because this will cause breakage, albeit, you know, with a few second delay. Likewise, in the case of the animal. True, it took a couple of seconds to break on the other side of the road, but who tossed it over? Who initiated that breaking process, the shur, directly? It's called gufa. So Rava should have clarity from this halacha. Answers the well, the Rava pshitale. You know, this was clear to Rava. That we look at the moment of initiation. The Rava, but the Rava wasn't clear. Therefore, he had a shayla. Toshma, we're going to try to prove this this point from Ibrahim. Hidus ein emud. Yeshayim harei is emud. Hidus means, you know, the tarnagol jumping around. He breaks something. Mu'ud, 100% chayev. Some say no, ain't I mu'ud. Right? Now, hidus hakadaitach, you mean to say he's actually jumping around and breaking things? Of course he's a mu'ud. That's his, you know, ordinary behavior. That's regal. El olav hidus v'hidus. Must be that what happened was he jumped around. and he struck an item, which didn't break at that very moment. Rather, it rolled away, and then it broke. We welcome Iflagi. And this very point, is the machlekes in our price? Tamar sava basim yikara zlinam. The shita that says, Hidus is muad, fully responsible, basim yikara. We look at the moment of contact, initiation. It was direct contact which eventually brought that hezek, if fully chayiv. Umar sava basa tvar mona zlinam. The other shita says, no. This is troy race, because we look at where the mana, the kli was broken. And when did that happen? 2 minutes later. True, you caused it, but it was indirect. So apparently this question of Rava is really machlekes tanoim. Lo, he says the Gemara, behitis tzuris, we're not speaking that he actually broke this in first kli that he touched. No. What happened was that he never made contact with a kli at all. He was walking along the road. Well, actually, in this case, the tarnagel was jumping around and flicked some tzuris, some pebbles, which ultimately shot out and struck a kli. So he never actually made contact with the kli. These shurs are external elements coming to attack a kli. So this shur never actually interacted with the kli, and therefore there's no question it's not gufay. Although he caused damage, but it was a process. He hit the shur, which hit the kli. That kli was very much removed from the shur, from the tarnagel. So it's your classic case of shurs, and that's the machlekes. What is the halacha by tzurei reis? We had a machlekes, right, between sumchas and rabbanon. Uve plukta de sumchas, rabbanon kamifli, and that's the machlekes here as well. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We learned about the kavod that was done to Chizki HaMelech, the great teacher, the great learner of Torah, the great keeper of Torah, and fulfiller of Torah. A person who immerses in Torah, brings chasadim, zeichah, to lots of schar, spiritual and material. Regel constitutes just walking along naturally, and damaging in that manner, whether by way of his foot, by way of his body. We were introduced to the concept of tzurei reis, where there was an indirect mazik by flicking something, which eventually struck something else. Chacham say chatzi nezek. More explains, really koicha is kigufa, but this halacha mishmi sinai that's downgraded to chatzi nezek. Sumchas was not mekawal halacha mishmi sinai. He holds tzurei reis is nezek shalem. We have Rava's interesting question: you hit something, it breaks later. Is it considered direct damage or indirect? We thought it was machlekes tanoim, which turns out not to be necessarily such. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.